So with our first five lessons, we have learned the first five letters of the word church and what they stand for. The first C stands for the called out people, and the first H, we heard, stands for the head of the church. With the letter U, we saw the uniqueness of the church, and when we looked at the letter R, we looked at the relationships of the church. When we looked at the second C in church, we examined how it's Christ's church. We saw that the church belongs to no man but to Jesus, and he bought it with his blood, as we read in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. So to complete the word church, we need one final letter, and that final letter is the second H that ends it all. Now, we could ask ourselves, where is the church headed? And we could use that as our H. Or we could ask how to be used helpfully in the church. But instead of those questions, I would like to look at how the church is a heavenly home. What is the worst situation you think you have ever been in? So there are so many scenarios you could say, and we could even consider some of the worst ever. And whether it be you've been stranded on the side of the road, you got in a car accident, or you just lost a loved one. And those are just three examples I've thought of, but there are so many beyond those that could happen to you. They could be worse, or they could be better. Now, all of those sounded terrible, right? But that's what happens with us right now. What about later on? Now, the worst situation we can be in is when we're lost in sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So this clearly states that we all sin, and there are no exceptions, of course, except for Jesus Christ, which we can find in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 25, which you can join me if you would like while I read it. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul." So the greatest need among all others that we could ever think we do need is we need to be saved from sin. Because as we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin are death. Now, the Bible says Jesus came in order that he may die on the cross to save us from our sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, if you would like to turn there with me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us." Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Jesus gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed." So Christ gave up his blameless life. I mean, he never sinned. And as we read, he never deceived. He never went against someone else. But he gave up that life so that we could join him later on. So as we saw earlier, when we are saved, Jesus adds us to his church, which we can read about in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. So Jesus ties our salvation with his church, and they cannot be separated. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, it's 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, we read, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to the propitiation for our sins. God sent his Son so that we may live through him, as we just read." So Jesus, God's Son, his only begotten Son, was sent here to save us. We read in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that Jesus bought the church with his blood and that we must be overseers of it. So when we are saved, there is an eternal significance because Jesus died and spent his blood for our salvation. Not only did Jesus come to save us while we are here on earth, Jesus came to save us so we can go to heaven with him. Flip with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Paul wrote here, "The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we are with Christ, we are with his church, and with him we have a promise of eternal life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 states that those in the church are enrolled in heaven. When Jesus comes back, he will deliver the kingdom of God to the Father, which is read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. So we must be in his church to be delivered to God at the end of time and to be able to spend an eternity with him in heaven. So if you remember, the second H in the church is for heavenly home. The Bible states that it is reserved in heaven for those who are faithful to him, which you can read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Tonight we have studied the church, and with each letter we have seen a great lesson. The first C reminds us that the church is the called out people. The first H reminds us who the head of the church is, which is Jesus Christ. The U reminds us of the uniqueness of the church and that there is only one. The letter R reminds us of the relationships of the church on which we must focus on. The second C reminds us that the church is Christ's church, for it belongs to him. He bought it with his blood. And lastly, the second H in church reminds us that only those in the church have a heavenly home. So here's the question we keep asking you tonight. Are you in Jesus' church? I hope you are, because I for sure want to see everyone get to heaven and be happy forever. There are no tears in heaven, no sorrows given. All will be happy in that land. There will be no sadness, and all will be gladness, and we shall join that happy band. That song reminds me of how happy we will be once we are with God in his kingdom. Tonight, if you would like to become a part of the church, if you want to be saved, then you must believe that Jesus is God's Son, Acts chapter 16, verse 31. You must repent of your sins and turn to God, Acts chapter 17, verse 30. You must confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 9 through 10. You must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And to be saved and be in Jesus' church, you must remain and live faithfully, as we read in Revelations chapter 2, verse 10. Are you saved? Are you in the Lord's church? If not, come tonight as together we stand and sing.